Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
This segment's brought to you by Eon Clinics.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot means up to 40% off appliance special buys. Plus, up to $600 in extra savings instantly on select appliances. Get an entire GE counter-depth kitchen package for under $2,900. No rebate, no hassle, no kidding. Today is the day for doing. Red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. Gas extra. See store for details. Valid through July 10th.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Crystal Lake Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Jonah Carey.
Hey, great to see you.
Me too. I don't know who you are, but it's great to see you.
The Athletic and the Opener Podcast.
He's thrown his pillow, he's thrown his nightcap, and Yuppie's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tim Raines enthusiast.
Tim Raines, yeah! Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Tim was rock solid playing.
Is that right?
Jonah Carey with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, the Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. Time for Jonah Carey, who's on Twitter at Jonah Carey, and he is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Jonah, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're good, especially after the Cubs with a significant comeback win yesterday. We were just talking about trying to come up with some kind of statistic that measures the leverage of media-imposed narratives on a given outcome, even though the actual leverage is probably just one of 162. What we'd be saying about the reeling Chicago Cubs and the blown save by Craig Kimbrell instead is Cubs with a stirring comeback win, and they've got their closer for the next 3 years.
Yeah, selection bias is wonderful.
Isn't
we should
it?
Totally be on board with it. Yeah, it is. And look, I mean, Kimbrell's might be a little rusty. He hasn't pitched in quite a long time. It's not easy to pitch a major league ball game, and he didn't go through a full spring training. You know, he got some work in the minors and some prep, but it's not really the same thing. So it's entirely possible that he might need a little bit of time to iron things out. But, you know, the Cubs remain a team in good standing. And the good news, of course, is that the rest of the division is good, but not great. The Brewers are sitting on a negative run differential. Cardinals have been a disappointment. You know, this team with the second best run differential in the division, and it's not even close for number three, is the Cincinnati Reds. Unfortunately, their bullpen is Kimbrel's performance times 100. So Cubs are sitting where they need to be, right? We're halfway through the season. They're in first place. That's what matters.
Would you advise, you know, Theo and Jed to just kind of bite and hold on to what they've got, or is there need for, it's kind of been going around the circles here, is there need for some sort of Nomar Garcia Parra level type trade for the Cubs in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, it's depends a little bit on what they have, right? Like, I'm interested in what Alzolay is going to do. If he's going to pitch well, then Tyler Chatwood can be sent to Lake Michigan and never to return, and you can do some good things there because Tyler Chatwood's not the answer to anything. So that would be nice. Kimbrell, obviously, if he can perform, would be nice. You know, we know that Jason Hayward has shown flashes. If he can get back to doing what he was doing earlier in the season, that would certainly help. If David Bodie can really take a stranglehold on that second base job, you know, then the mystery of Zobrist or Addison Russell or whatever can be solved because Bodie's a pretty good player, and that could certainly help. So I still want to see more from the group that they have, from the incumbents for the next 3 weeks or so and just see where we're at and then make a determination as to what to do trade-wise, because I think that this team is probably, the pace right now is 88 wins. I think on talent, they're that or maybe even a little bit better. We just haven't seen all the talent fully bubble to the surface yet.
We had Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer on the show yesterday, and he talked at length about their concerns about situational hitting. The Cubs do not rise to the occasion, and it isn't just necessarily a small sample note. It's become a characteristic of these teams that even in 2016, if you go by FanGraphs, what they call a clutch, which is an ability to remain oneself when the leverage of a moment increases, that it's just something that has infected this particular group of hitters, and they're trying to figure out why. There's more at their disposal now and more ability to gather data and to understand what's going on with the physics of everything and with what's going on with their swings. But is there any way, if you were advising on what to look for if guys can't remain themselves in the moment, what are some of the common problems?
Well, and to your point, the Cubs ranked 21st in what's called, and I'll say this gently, cluster luck. Cluster luck, one of my favorite stats. It basically has to do with how you bunch hits together. Do you put together big rallies, or do you kind of spread out your hits over the course of a bunch of innings? 21st is not all that great.
Where do you find that stat, by the way? Where do you look that up?
ThePowerRank.com. It's a really, really good stat. And to give you an idea of good teams being capable of being bad by cluster luck, and there's offense and defense, by the way. There's a run prevention component, and there's a run scoring component. By run scoring, the last place team in the majors is Houston. Third to last is Tampa Bay. Fourth to last is Milwaukee. Fifth to last is the Dodgers. And Boston's in there near the bottom, too. So it doesn't necessarily mean that these are bad teams. Quite the opposite. These are very good teams. It means that they might not be hitting all that well in the clutch. And if anything, there's some unlocked value. Can you imagine that as well as the Dodgers are playing, that they're giving away 13 runs over the course of the season by cluster luck? It's interesting. So anyway, to your point, what is the makeup of this team and why are they like this? It's a great question. You know, it could be that it is, sample size, but as you mentioned, the 2016 club was largely the same bodies and they struggled in the same way. It's also possible that it's the makeup of the way the team goes, right? That they don't necessarily have as many contact hitters as they want. Ben Zobrist was a guy, you know, if you wanted a single in a big spot, Ben Zobrist was a pretty good guy for that. We've seen him deliver some big singles over the years. But, you know, is Kyle Schwarber that kind of player? Not necessarily. Is Javi Baez? Javi Baez is a wonderful player. Strikes out five times more often than he walks, and he's known for his power, you know. So I think Anthony Rizzo's a little bit of the same, right? Anthony Rizzo's a walks and home runs guy. He's a little bit of a three true outcomes guy. So they just might have the type of roster that doesn't necessarily lend itself to single, double, single, double, single, double. You got four runs. It might be that it's, you know, Earl Weaver style, that you're walking, you're going to strike out a bunch, but you're going to hit some three-run homers. And that's going to work out for you more often than not. This is still a good team. But sure, in a one-run game, maybe that strategy doesn't always work as well.
We've had half the season to evaluate baseball. The White Sox have just reportedly made a move to designate Yonder Alonso for assignment. We talked a lot, Jonah, in the offseason about what it was to get Yonder Alonso and John Jay, theoretically in hopes that acquiring two guys that were real tight with Manny Machado might help you get the actual Manny Machado. Have you looked any back at that offseason and changed some about your pining for Machado? I haven't, and with Yonder going away, I find myself, I don't know, embittered, I guess, even more. I wonder if you feel the same.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a major risk for this contract, right? It was a one-year deal, and it's not that big a deal, and John Jay was the same thing. There was nothing much going on, and to your point about Machado, he's not exactly lighting the world on fire in San Diego. He's been okay, but not necessarily what people would expect. You took a shot and it didn't work, right? You know, there's 30 teams in baseball, and somebody like Machado is going to be hotly pursued by certainly more than one, and it's not always going to work out for everybody, and that's fine. So I don't know. I mean, I think that the nature of the tactic, go stack the team with friends, is probably dubious, and I think that other teams might look at it and say, all right, we're the Cincinnati Reds of 2022, and we want to get, I don't know, somebody. We want to trade for Bryce Harper or whatever it is. Maybe we'll think twice about getting Bryce Harper's friends on the team. So I think that there's some of that there. Harper himself, right? The rumor was that he might go to the Cubs because he's besties with Chris Bryant. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't happen either. It just, you know, it's you try out all kinds of things. And the White Sox were willing to try it. They figured that it was low risk. They figured that Alonso is frankly not that bad a player, but this year he is that bad, would perform better than this, and therefore it made it worth it. Alonso played poorly, and Machado has ended up somewhere else, and here we are. So, yeah, there were a few million dollars poorer for it, but you took your shot, and it didn't work.
You mentioned the run differential for Milwaukee. I'm looking at that of the Cardinals, and they're 358 scored and 349 allowed, and they're right on what their record should be at 40 and 39. And I looked at some numbers yesterday because I just hadn't realized how ordinary Paul Goldschmidt has been since he was acquired and signed to the contract extension. He's a 103 weighted runs created plus, which means he's about an average offensive player. What's happening with him?
Yeah, he's not making his own. I'm pulling up StatCast as we speak, but I wrote about Goldschmidt a couple weeks ago. I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed in 2 weeks. Last time I looked, exit velocity and things like that were down. Yep, they're down. So his exit velocity peaked in 2015, 92 miles an hour, and now he's at 90.3. It's been a kind of a steady little trickle down over the last few years. Same thing with some other numbers like hard hit percentage. Hard hit percentage, it's his lowest since StatCast started existing in 2015. So, you know, he's over 30. Is it possible that his bat speed has slowed down just a tick of an iota of a tiny little thing? Yeah, sure, that's entirely possible. We might just be seeing Goldschmidt, you know, at the beginning of his decline phase, and that's an interesting point for the Cardinals because, of course, they acquired him in his walk year, and they figured, okay, well, we're going to lock up this guy who's a superstar, and he's not that young. You know, it's entirely possible that the Cardinals live to regret this contract. Goldschmidt's already 31, and if this is the start of the signs of slippage, it's not going to look that good in years 3 and 4 and so on.
The All-Star starters are out. Cubs have a pair, as do the Braves and the Yankees. Astros have a good number as well. I think it's three starters for them. Any thought on how we changed the balloting? Were you happy? Did it bring up any sort of drama for you over the last couple of days?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was interesting. And I liked it for guys like Ketel Marte. I thought that if you're talking about players who are relatively new to fame and to recognition, it's good to see them getting that recognition. Carlos Santana is another one in Cleveland. I mean, he's in his 30s at this point. Cleveland's hosting the game. It was nice to see Santana make it, and he deserved it too. So did Marte. These guys were very good. And what I found was interesting was, for the most part, and there were exceptions, but if you just punch up your favorite Fangraphs leaderboard, not that far off from the All-Stars. It's not like you're taking guys based on reputation, and you're taking guys based on numbers this season, and I think that's all right. Now, by the same token, was I mortified when Derek Jeter made the All-Star team long past his prime because he's Derek Jeter? No, not really. It's the All-Star game. I don't care that much. I can understand it. So I think a healthy mix of both. Let's get Ketel Marte into the All-Star game because he deserves it, and he's been rad. And, you know, if there's a Jeter or two around the league that needs to go in, somebody on their last year who's, you know, a baseball legend or close to the last year, then I'm fine with that, too. I think it's okay to have both.
What was your initial thought about the Stuart Sternberg off-the-wall plan to create something that has already been described as the X-Rays, a combination of Rays and Expos that would play half the games in Tampa, half the games in Montreal? This has that ring of it's so crazy it just might work, or it's just a naked leverage stunt. I'm not quite sure. It's been interesting to discuss and talk about and watch people go through the motions of whatever this roadshow is, this sales pitch, but what's real here and what matters to you?
I've already written two features on it and done a podcast on it, and I still find myself laughing at the ridiculousness of the plan. Look, they're on paper. I think that there is a larger discussion to be had about whether small to mid-sized markets could or should be able to support 81 home games. I don't know that it's feasible in Cleveland or Miami or Cincinnati or Tampa Bay. It's a lot of games, and we're in a different world now. People have phones. People have lots of entertainment options, and, you know, it's not like football. You only have to go to Soldier Field 8 times a year. You're going to sell that thing out, no problem. Baseball's 81 games. That is really, really, really hard, and even in, you know, even with a city that has 2-3 million people, that's not that easy. So I think that makes some sense on a abstract level. I think it makes some sense, Montreal pairing with Tampa Bay because of the weather, because April and May in the Tampa Bay region is lovely. It's in the 70s, low 80s. It's nice. The winter, in the summer, it's monsoons and brutally hot weather, whereas if you flip it in Montreal, in April it snows, in June and July, and I'm sitting in Montreal in June and July, gorgeous. You can't ask for a nicer city in the summer than Montreal. So that all makes sense. But there are so many problems with this plan. Starting with, you weren't able to build a stadium in the Tampa Bay area to begin with.
And you tried and you tried and you tried, including a proposal for $900 million, which just got shot down in downtown Tampa back in December. You're going to build two new stadiums. You're going to build one in Tampa Bay where nobody wanted to build it, and another one in Montreal where they tried back in the 90s to build it for the Expos, and the provincial government, to their credit, said, no, 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 we want roads and schools and hospitals and not to build stadiums for billionaires. So there are many, many problems, with this plan, and I have to imagine that maybe Sternberg in the abstract believes that it is a good plan, but it has to be a leverage play as well. There's no way it isn't.
I was speaking of the Rays, I was kind of looking at their call-up, apparently imminent call-up of Brendan McKay, a two-way player draftee of just, I think it's 2 years ago. The plan there is what? It seems like they've had some injuries pitching-wise, and he's going to mostly be deployed that way. But the potential of developing a two-way player like they have is kind of, it's a little bit unprecedented, at least of late.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, and Shohei Ohtani has shown that there's a way that you can make this work. Obviously, Ohtani did get injured on the pitching side, but still maintains his value, right? Because he can hit. So that's a very good sign. And in the case of McKay, you know, we've seen that shown signs that he can hit. At first, he wasn't hitting all that well, but he started to pick up the pace, and we're seeing good things from him. So there is an encouraging element to this, and it's fun to watch. And it's not just that. The Rays are trying to do this at other levels of the minors, too. We've seen lesser-known players getting this treatment as well, being brought up as two-way players. It's really hard because just mastering one craft is so hard, hitting or pitching, especially pitching. To be able to do both is incredible, but the Rays, to their credit, are saying, all right, the same way that this team is going to try knuckleballers and this team is going to try whatever, extreme launch angles or whatever it is, we're going to try this. And if it works with McKay, who granted is more talented than anybody else they have doing it, then they'll probably keep doing it. They'll probably look for other examples of players like this. And if you think about high school players, the best player on, you know, if you played high school ball, probably your best player played shortstop and pitcher. It's pretty a safe bet. There's a lot of guys like this. It's just that we find them ourselves streaming players once they get to 18, 19. It's all right, enough fooling around. You're no longer a shortstop. You're a left-handed pitcher right-handed pitcher, and that's the end of that. And we'll just see how it goes. Well, maybe you just change the stream. Maybe you start it as early as possible, and if you give instructions really early and you keep guys on that track, then there could be more Brenton McKays in the future.
What's going on with the Mets? What happens now? Something's got to give, right?
Well, the general manager of the Mets came up with a plan that appealed to the Wilpons. They went out and they interviewed a lot of guys for that job, and a lot of people were saying, okay, we're going to rebuild because there was an older club. You definitely had those pitchers, of course. You had Syndergaard, DeGrom, and so forth, but you just had a lot of misfits in the lineup. You had some older guys. You had some guys who hadn't panned out, and it seemed like making trades would make sense, and it might have even included Syndergaard and DeGrom, to be honest. Didn't happen. They loaded up. That Robinson Cano and Diaz trade looks terrible. The prospects that the Mariners got look awesome right now. And it's bad all around. You know, it starts with ownership, right? If ownership puts forth the idea that we need to try to win every year, even when we're not in position to win, and they don't pivot a little bit, then they're going to run into trouble. If the GM follows out those orders more aggressively than almost any new GM we've seen, they're going to run into trouble. And if the manager is a total jerkwad and starts berating reporters and ganging up with his pitcher in order to do so, that's a distraction that a bad team doesn't need, and it doesn't look good for anybody. So
Jonah, thanks, man. Have a great weekend. I would wish you a happy 4th of July, but you don't live in this country, so it doesn't matter.
Thank you, guys.
Jonah Carey, who is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras, plus applicable tax, no additional discounts or coupons may be applied. And speaking of Independence Day, what we're calling for the noon hour as we sit in for Lawrence Holmes, we're doing Friday Fun today. We're calling
Indeed.
It Independence Day or Fails of July. Some of these emails are harrowing and entertaining. So I'm looking forward to this.
We want your tales of fails on the 4th. Hub Arkish is going to stop in. We'll talk a little Bears and NFL with Hub when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is The Score.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Pitch hitting, catcher number two. Also Karen in row J eating the hot dog. Did you mean to tip 167% yesterday at Le Cafe restaurant? Just checking.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like over-tipping, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet. See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
Hi, it's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word, Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that makes you want to rub it all over your hair?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hi, I'm Luis, a student at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you're looking at colleges, you have to check out our school. The Princeton Review calls UW-Milwaukee one of the best universities in the Midwest, and I agree. Our campus is in a beautiful Milwaukee neighborhood just 90 minutes from Chicago, and you'll be surprised at how affordable tuition is for Illinois students. Sign up for a tour now and get free tickets to Summerfest, the world's largest music festival. Check us out at uwm.edu/summervisit.
Your old gas yard tools may have met their match. Right now, the Home Depot has up to $30 off select Ryobi 40-volt outdoor power tools, like the Ryobi Jet Fan Blower at a special buy of just $129. It has the power of gas without the hassle, a turbo boost for more airflow, and right now, a price no one can match. Today is the day for doing. Up to $30 off Ryobi outdoor power tools. Red, white, and blue savings, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to reprogram your GPS,
recalculate it,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenida a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the world is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We love talking to Dan Plesac.
Have you reached a point yet with Yu Darvish where you've exhaled from a Cubs perspective? And your thoughts for the most part on where the Cubs pitching staff has been halfway through this season?
It's not been as good as we have expected. But with that said, it is what is going to get them to the end of the rope and end of the line. They're going to win the Central. Dan, the Brewers, pound for pound, their lineup is as good, maybe a little bit better than the Cubs, but the Brewers put too much pressure on their bullpen. I get it. They want to get Josh Hader involved, but the bottom line is they have one pitcher in Zach Davies right now that they can really rely on. But when I watch the Cubs, it almost seems like at times, I don't know how to phrase this without it sounding stupid, but it almost seems like they get bored.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. And you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One and a member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it? Covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
Red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot means up to 40% off appliance special buys. Plus, up to $600 in extra savings instantly on select appliances. That means you can get a top-load Whirlpool washer and electric dryer pair just $4.98 each. No rebate. No hassle. No kidding. Today is the day for doing. Red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. While supplies last. Gas dryer extra. See store for details. Valid through July 10th.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Hub Arkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
That sounds good. Let's talk to Hub. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz of the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. So you know a real mensch is a real mensch when he comes and makes sure that he comes to someone else's place and brings something. And the way to the heart of the Bernstein and McKnight show would be apple fritters.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
These are delicious.
I don't remember how we stumbled into it, but we started a conversation about this last November. I went to the place around the corner, Stan's, and I brought... theirs are really good. But I've got to do the quick plug because she insisted that I comp you guys the new thing on the block. Lee's Donuts up in Libertyville. It's a smaller kind of neighborhood place. It's at 137 in Milwaukee. The best apple fritters in the world. And when I told her, you know, about you guys and what we were doing, she's like, what time? What station? I got to listen, you know? So, but I'm just telling you guys, if you're ever in the neighborhood, and she introduced us, they have a brand new cherry fritter, which is pretty damn good, too.
See, this has kind of opened my eyes, because for me, I'm kind of a traditionalist. A fritter is apple,
yep.
And that's the end of it. But we had a blueberry fritter from somewhere a little while ago. This cherry is terrific.
Lawrence last week brought the rhubarb fritter in, too, that is a thing. So I'm expanding my fruit fritter game, as it were. But that's not why you called. You're here to have Hub talk football. Did you hear Olin today on in place of Mike Mulligan?
I didn't realize he was going to be on. No.
Really good. He was really good and very opinionated regarding this new defensive staff on the Bears. And without saying so, he allowed us to listen between the words a little bit, where it sounds like he thinks that the adjustment to this group might be a little more difficult, or it's not something we can assume is going to be easy, that it was running so well under Fangio and so well under Ed Donatell that developing these relationships to getting it on the field takes a little bit more time than we're thinking it does.
Well, I think there's something to that, but I do think there's two sides to it. I mean, at the end of the day, when you introduce new voices in the room, you've got new personalities, you have to form new relationships. You can say whatever you want, and it may be work. It's gonna take a little time. It's just like, you know, a new employee. It's a new, you know, host or whatever. It takes a little while. The flip side of that, though, is that while Chuck Pagano and Vic Fangio are very different people, and that while Chuck Pagano will probably blitz and play a few more games than Vic Fangio did, I don't know if he's going to be as good in disguising his zone coverages as Vic Fangio was, but they grew up together. I mean, in essence, these systems are not that different. They're going to do a lot of the same things. And so on one hand, yes, there'll be a period of adjustment. But on the other hand, I still think it'll be smoother and better than most because of the there are far more similarities between Pagano and Fangio than there are differences.
So with the addition of Buster Skrine and HaHa Clinton Dix, then, is it too simplistic to say that those guys, who are a little bit more risky players in the terms of routes they take and hits they make, they're not added for Pagano's risk. They're added because they were the best guys available under the numbers that they could find.
Oh, well, no question about it. And it's not really even just the numbers. I mean, in the case of HaHa Clinton Dix, there, anybody who wants to debate whether Clinton Dix is a better safety than Adrian Amos has never watched football before. I mean, he's clearly a better safety than Adrian Amos. He has not played as well the last year and a half or two as he did the first three, and that's what started this whole, I walked away from it. I was in a Twitter war with the president of some Packer fan club or something for something I said a couple months ago. The issue is, will Clinton Dix, who is, by the way, people don't realize it, he is 4 months older than Adrian Amos. They're both 27 years old. Mm. There's this perception that you're bringing in this veteran. And he was one of the better ball-hawking safeties in the league. So they see that very much as an upgrade, and especially the benefit of him being in this prove-it year, this contract deal, which is going, it's always, you know, incense players whether they want to acknowledge it or not. The Buster Screen thing is different. They would have liked to have had Bryce Callahan back, but you can't give Bryce Callahan $7 million a year if you don't know how many games he's going to play. You know, it's really that simple. What's interesting is that Screen has the same issue. He's smaller. You would think he wouldn't handle the abuse all that well, but you know, he's been very durable, 8 years in the league, and they're very similar type players. So I think Screen probably brings a little more attitude to that secondary too. So Clinton Dix is an upgrade. Screen is exactly what you described, the replacement at a better price and a little safer, you know, move.
What do we know about what's happening at the tight end position, not just with Trey Burton's recovery from surgery to fix the sports hernia that gave us some actual closure for the very mysterious injury that occurred right before their playoff game? Bradley Sowell is moving from tackle to tight end. Imagine he would be an inline tight end, not the move guy. But we're still not sure if Adam Shaheen can play.
That's the bottom line, Dan. You take a kid from Ashland College, 45 in the draft. You got to give it 3 years, not two. This is year three. You also have to, you know, to be fair and objective, he didn't even get all of last year. He missed half a season. He played hurt the whole second half of the season. But at the end of the day, if he was healthy enough to be on the field, to play eight games and only catch five passes, that's got to concern you a little bit. Much like training camp last year prior to the injury in the second exhibition against Denver, because he was having a great camp, he's looked very good this summer in the OTAs, in the veteran mini camp. They clearly are featuring him a bit. But, and I'm not reporting this from any sources up there, I'm just telling you from doing this for a long time and watching what they're doing, there's some concern at Hallis Hall about it. I mean, this is year three, you know, and it's now or never. And, you know, Trey Burton does not have an injury history. Sports hernia surgery is pretty common. He should be fine. There's no depth behind him, and he can't play, you know, the Y position. I think it's the Y. I always get the letters mixed up. He's never going to go in line. He's a willing blocker. He's not a good blocker. That's what the Sowell experiment is all about. When they're in 12 personnel and it's a running play, they want two blocking tight ends out there. That'll be Brad Sowell. He may catch a pass or two, you know, whatever it may be.
So is Ben Broniker a lock, or is this undrafted free agent out of BYU, right? Does he have a chance to make the team?
Well, they've carried four in recent years. It's actually Utah State, I think.
Utah State.
It's Dax Raymond. They also like the kid from Central Michigan, this Ian Bunning. I think they've got four undrafted rookie tight ends there. But Dax Raymond is the guy to keep an eye on. You know, so now when you talk about carrying four, is Broniker number three, and is it between Sowell and Raymond? Is Broniker in trouble? Is somebody on the pup list? I don't think they really know. But I will say this, looking at the Bears, and you don't want to get, you don't want to drown in the Kool-Aid, the only position that really is unsettled at this point is tight end.
Kicker.
Well, obviously, yeah. But, I mean, they feel really good about everything but tight end. This is going to be the watch and see. This is going to be a lot of the focus in Bourbonnais is, you know, how close to ready is Burton? How good does Shaheen look? Are any of these kids something to get excited about? I'll tell you, Raymond's an interesting prospect. He's definitely going to be a pretty good pass catcher. Whether he's going to learn to block the position or not is what they've got to focus on.
I was going to ask about a different position. I heard nothing but effusive praise for David Montgomery, the rookie running back. Did you hear anything that checked up your thoughts about how he could integrate into this offense and how fast he might be able to do it?
Well, I like the pick. I like the kid. I like him even more as of, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I don't know if you guys saw. I'm sure you saw. He was chosen the Big 12 Sports Person of the Year. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of locker room that Ryan Pace has worked hard to build. This kid is exactly what you want in every respect. He clearly is an upgrade in the fit that he presents to Matt Nagy's offense because he is going to be a very good receiver. He also is a legit running back. The things that concern me a little bit is that Big 12 running backs have not projected well in the NFL for some time now. They don't play great defense in the Big 12. Now, they do produce some receivers and some quarterbacks on occasion. So, you know, that in itself is not the end-all, be-all. But the fact that he doesn't have great speed and that other Big 12 running backs who we've gotten interested in have not projected well is probably the one thing you keep an eye on, but you can't paint with that broad a brush. I mean, everything about this young man, you look at the film, suggests that he's got a chance to be pretty good.
I've enjoyed reading the reports out of Green Bay where every interaction between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, whether it's a videotape or people just watching them, is being observed as if it's Kremlinology at this point, with just reading into everything about trying to figure out, is that relationship going to work? And if so, how? To what end?
You know, obviously, we've got to wait and see. But I was talking to you guys before we came on. To me, the Packers are the most fascinating team in the NFL right now, because while we're going to focus on Rodgers and LaFleur because of the article and all that, there is so much more going on there than just that. But that is the starting point. You know, not being close to it, A, it's just conjecture, but B, even people close to it, we got to give him a chance. We got to see. At the end of the day, however, if you want to make your best educated guess, Aaron Rodgers is the one who has to give him this. I mean, you know, Matt LaFleur is the head coach of this football team. It's not like they brought LaFleur in, so now Rodgers can run things the way he wants to.
Right.
And everything I know and I've read about Aaron Rodgers suggests that he's not all that likely to be that, you know, pliant, if you will. I mean, think about his comment. You know, LaFleur said the one thing that we're working on is that we don't call audibles and change plays at the line of scrimmage in my offense. To which Rodgers replied, well, after being one of the best in the league out of the last 10 years, I think you'd want to. Wasn't exactly an endorsement of that, you know? So I don't see any signs that they're off to a wonderful... I mean, they may be, you know, all buddy-buddy and talking and whatever, but the early indicators, you know, with everything we know about Aaron Rodgers, is that this is not likely to be a marriage made in heaven.
Does the rest of the roster give you pause then?
It really does, Connor, and that's what nobody's talking about. I mean, you know, you look at the receiver position, and Devontae Adams has developed into a legitimate number one. Mm-hmm. But then you've got Valdez-Scantling, and you've got Geronimo Allison, and you've got the other kid that I'm forgetting now. St. Brown from Notre Dame, and even Davis. You know, these are all interesting kids, but they're just they don't have a set 2, 3, and 4 receiver right now. They don't have a starting running back. I mean, Aaron Jones led the NFL.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, well,
Aaron Jones led the NFL in average yards per carry last year, 5.5. But it was only on 138 carries. He's penciled in number one right now, but it's still that whole group that they drafted with Jamal Williams. And, you know, so they may be good, you don't know. They may be okay at wide receiver, you don't know. Jimmy Graham is clearly done. Jay Sternberger. We had him actually, I think, a spot behind Dax Raymond, who the Bears got as an undrafted rookie free agent. They took Sternberger in the fourth round. The interior of their offensive line is a huge question. Lane Taylor is just a guy at one guard. And then they bring in Billy Turner, a journeyman, and plug him in as the starter on the right side. Corey Lindsey's pretty good at center. Tackles are really good. But you go over on the defense, I mean, if ever a free agent signing reminded me of Pernell McPhee, it is both Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. Now, Preston Smith's been healthy. He's a really good football player. He started 48 straight games. But in 4 years, including 48 straight games, he has 23 career sacks. And they've got him plugged into one of those key pass rush positions. Za'Darius Smith, in 4 years in Baltimore, started 16 games. You know, he's got 24 career sacks. This is their all-new, you know, the pass rush is fixed. And then, you know, they're counting on Adrian Amos being the difference maker with all those kids in the secondary. Even up front, they can't keep Mike Daniels healthy. So, you know, they as long as Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, they are a legitimate playoff contender. The rest of the roster and everything you look at, they also could be pretty bad this year. It's really, there's a wide range of possibilities for them.
As there is in the NFL, the sport with a high variance from year to year, and Bears fans are wary of that as well. Hub, thank you so much
Thanks,
for
Hub.
Bringing apple fritters and cherry fritters. And anytime you want to stop by with that, you're certainly welcome.
Always good to talk NFL around the July 4th. So anytime, guys. Take care.
That is Hub Arkush, he of Pro Football Weekly and the senior NFL and Bears expert here on Sports Radio 670. Next up, NBA talk. What are the Bulls going to do? What can they do? And what are the big free agents going to do on the market? That is coming up with Rick Bucher of Radio.com Sports.
The Scorecard Golf Show, celebrating 10 years, teeing off your Saturday mornings on The Score, starring Ed Sherman and Steve Olkin, 6 to 8 a.m. The Scorecard, tomorrow morning on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Hey, it's Flo with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants. Go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Looking to secure financing on a new home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. Meet Chuck, Marine veteran. He's heard thousands of Team Hochberg's ads, so naturally he called them with his VA mortgage questions. Wrong, he didn't. Chuck first contacted another lender that advertises on the radio who blew him off after learning he was credit challenged. Chuck heard an ad for Team Hochberg, and he called them for a free consultation, which he should have done in the first place, because Team Hochberg introduced Chuck to their credit enhancement expert, Gary Novell, who will help Chuck enhance his credit so Team Hochberg can help him secure a VA loan. Best part, Team Hochberg is going to issue Chuck a closing cost credit to offset the investment he made enhancing his credit. If you're a veteran and you'd like to work with a trusted local lender who respects your service and won't blow you off if you're credit challenged, call Team Hochberg now at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg's helped thousands of Score listeners, but can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today. 1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to reprogram your GPS,
recalculate,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenida a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the world is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes, and you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At The Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the job done with the products and brands you trust. Technology to keep your job on track. Job site delivery to save you time. And bulk pricing on over 4,000 items every day to save you money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We do feel confident that he will, but Kawhi is his own man. You know, like he's shown us that since he came here. And he's a confident human being. He's an unbelievable person. He is his own person. I'm glad we got him for the year, because when I said this to you guys, that we have to be ourselves, and we were ourselves the whole year. I think he saw that. I think we built a trust.
But even Masai Ujiri can't be sure, because no one is exactly certain what it is Kawhi Leonard wants. But that is one of the big free agents looming out there. Let's talk some NBA, because the Chicago Bulls have some tantalizing possibilities as well. Rick Bucher is on Twitter, at Rick Bucher, and he is the Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Rick, how you been, man?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are we?
We're good. And looking at the Bulls having made what we think is a reasonable pick, that they I guess we're celebrating this low bar that they didn't completely screw it up and make clowns of themselves. So we're taking that as a win. Yet I'm finding it interesting that there is a bubbling rumor that Malcolm Brogdon of the Bucks could be a target in restricted free agency. And I'm looking at some of the nuts and bolts of this process, and I'm realizing it is a hell of a risk to commit that cap hold with that level of uncertainty while all other free agents can go around and sign elsewhere, and you're stuck.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. Let's be realistic about where the Bulls are and what they've experienced over the last year or two. I mean, the biggest thing for them is health. And Malcolm Brogdon, actually, I think is a shrewd, smart, safe pick. And other than going after that type of guy and giving him, I mean, let's not be ridiculous on the money, but I don't know that outside of that the Bulls are these huge free agent players. I do think that targeting a veteran point guard is the smart way to go. As much as I like the Coby White pick and I believe that he's got great potential, you don't want to throw him out there to the Wolves without a veteran to lean on and without somebody to actually start and run your team. Because ultimately, what you want to find out is, what can Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen and you know, even Zach LaVine with a legit point guard, what are those guys capable of doing? I hate to say that the Bulls are still in a period of discovery, but the reality is, because of the injuries over the last 2 years, they are, and having a quality floor leader is going to expedite that. So it eats up cap room, but for my money, it's money well worth spent, because it's the most important element they could add.
So whether it's Brogdon or like Darren Collison or even a guy like Corey Joseph, do you think that Chris Dunn then becomes, is that an untenable situation, having all three of those guys, Coby White, one of those three guys we mentioned, or another point guard, and Chris Dunn feasible for them?
I'm always big on competition. It really comes down to, I don't know that Coby White has expectations. Depends on how Chris Dunn takes it and accepts it. Is he going to take this as a competitive situation? Is he, you know, in certain, like, I can see where you could have a rotation. Look, Malcolm Brogdon, the guys we're talking about, are not pure, undisputed starting point guards. I think Malcolm Brogdon he's a solid point guard. I don't know that he's a future all-star point guard. In some ways, if this motivates, because I've been a big fan of Chris Dunn's from the beginning, and I know he's had issues. I know he's come through some issues. I know he still has some issues to work through. But the talent, I've never questioned the talent. It's just a matter of, can he be the kind of team leader, floor leader, decision maker that you want? Can he kind of get out of his own way? And he's got a chip on his shoulder. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes that chip it works for him, and sometimes it works against him. So at this point, can it work? It would really be up to, and number one, it would be up to Chris Dunn to make it work.
Talking with Rick Bucher on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score, I saw this from the New York Post. Mark Berman did an interview with Dr. Anish Kadakia of Northwestern University right here, who is a leading expert on Achilles injuries and recovery. And he reviewed studies that have shown 85% of NBA players who suffer Achilles tendon ruptures don't last more than two seasons after their return. And he says very few players play past two seasons. Two and that's it. But after 2 years, if you're still playing, studies show you will be as good as you'd be if you didn't rupture it, factoring in decline with age. So you probably haven't lost anything but time. But in 3 years, it's not the same Durant from 3 weeks ago. Teams are obviously doing their homework on this. This is common knowledge. How does this affect the pursuit of Kevin Durant, who's involved, why they're involved, and what he's going to get?
I haven't heard any team that is questioning the long-term capabilities of Kevin Durant. Now, has the field shrunk as far as teams that are in go mode? And I would put the Clippers and the Lakers certainly in those in that camp. Yes, it has affected them. But when it comes to the Knicks or the Nets, who are still in the rebuilding stages, even with the Nets making the playoffs last year, no, it has not. The belief is that the combination of KD's size, length, skills, slender build, and particularly his skill set and his work ethic, that he can still be. Is he going to be everything that he's been in the past? There might be a 5% drop off in terms of what he is, but when you're talking about arguably the best player in the game, a 5% drop-off, you will take that. It's if we were talking about a 6'4 point guard who relies on his explosiveness, we'd be talking about something entirely different. And I'm really curious about the test sample and the field, the pool of players that those numbers were drawn from, because I'm just thinking off the top of my head of Rudy Gay and Elton Brand, and I just wonder how many of those Achilles tears, and whether they only lasted two more years, how much of it was because they had an Achilles tear because of age, because they were 34, 35, and they were on the brink of retirement anyway, and that just ushered them out the door. That's the part of that that study that I'd like to know more about.
Over to the Lakers, they've made a little bit of news this morning. Per Adrian Wojnarowski, it looks like Mo Wagner, Jamario Jones, and another are going to the Wizards to clear up some space. Sounds like they may have created the $32 million in free agency. I assume that's what you've got as well on this. Who do the Lakers want, and what are they going to end up with?
Well, they're going to get a sit-down with Kawhi Leonard. He is the number one guy that they would want at this point. They may want, I've heard a report, I believe it was Mark Stein from the New York Times, saying that they're still interested in Kyrie. I've gotten no indication that Kyrie is interested in changing coast at this point. He is settled into New York. I mean, he's not going to back to Boston either. He seems to have his heart set on playing for Brooklyn, and I would think that plan B would be New York. So Kawhi Leonard is it. And if it's not Kawhi, then I would imagine that they will take that cap space and they will break it up and utilize it to get a number of quality pieces. And to be honest, I feel as if short of Kawhi, that's the way to go. Because if anything, we learned from this past finals, and I believe, and I've talked to GMs who have said that that the new model is not just being top heavy with three superstars, especially with the Supermax contracts eating up so much of your salary, that it's really about depth and flexibility on your roster. And that's what made the Toronto Raptors ultimately champions. And I would say was a big part, maybe a bigger part than people give it credit, of the Golden State Warriors having the dynasty that they've had. This whole thing began with their second five, their bench being arguably the best bench in the league. And, yes, they have they've managed to continue to win the previous 2 years and get to the finals with a very depleted bench, but it's because they had superstars in their prime and they were able to add a guy like Kevin Durant without having to give up any assets. That's the exception, not the rule. And so I can tell you the teams that I've talked to that have championship aspirations, they're looking more at how do we have a deep roster? How do we have quality players? Because we're going to deal with injuries, pace of the game. We're going to deal with fatigue. We're going to have to rest guys. So having a quality 8-9 guys as opposed to having a terrific first 4 or 5 seems to be the new blueprint. And so if the Lakers end up not getting Kawhi, and I don't expect that they will, that may not be the worst thing for their aspirations over the next year or two.
Which makes me wonder what the Rockets are doing, because as the offseason has gone on, we've learned more and more about the not-so-surprising dysfunction that was in play there between Chris Paul and James Harden and their coexistence. And then to hear that they want to clear the decks to make a run at Jimmy Butler, I'm thinking, Look, I know Daryl Morey's a smart guy. We saw the Jimmy Butler act close up here, and they saw it in Minnesota. You know, this is a guy who's on the other side of 30 who has played a ton of NBA minutes, and I don't doubt that he's a really solid two-way player. I'm not committing to Jimmy Butler as part of a championship run right now.
Yeah, I would take anything that you hear with the Houston Rockets or the Boston Celtics when it comes to making deals with not a grain of salt, like a huge block of salt, like the kind of old school blocks of ice that they would carry up to put in refrigerators, that size salt. Because Daryl Morey has done a tremendous job of making it appear as if the Rockets are in every potential deal and are constantly looking to rewrite the script and improve. And so throwing that out there, I agree with you 1,000%. Like, you already have some questions about the chemistry of your team. You're going to strip it down. They'd have to get rid of Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capella. They'd have to do it in independent deals. They probably have to give up assets in order to get the teams that are taking those guys to take them. Because I've talked to Philadelphia. There's no direct sign and trade that they're going to do with Houston that's going to allow Jimmy Butler to go to Houston. And then so when you look at it, are you really better if you add Jimmy Butler and you lose PJ Tucker, a defensive player of the year candidate, Clint Capella, who was disappointing in the playoffs, but still young athletic rim protector, and Eric Gordon, who at times was the guy who carried you when Chris Paul and James Harden weren't on. There's always a lot of smoke when it comes to the Rockets. I wouldn't think that there's a whole lot of fire.
Rick, appreciate it. Great talking to you. This should be a crazy couple of weeks here, a couple of days. It'll happen fast, I imagine. Appreciate you coming on.
You got it.
That is Rick Bucher, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Good stuff at the top of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. We are taking over the Lawrence Holmes Show for the next couple hours. Lawrence is out. He had an issue where he says he just couldn't talk. And not being able to talk.
You need to be able to do that.
Yeah, it gets in the way of doing a talk show. So we're
two white guys doing Lawrence Holmes' show.
That's pretty much what it is. And, well, that's what it takes. That's
forgot about that.
That's the exchange rate.
That's what I think that's actually where the whole drop came from. Joe and I were doing the exchange rate.
That's the proper exchange rate. But what we're going to do next, how about it? It's been a long time since we've done Friday Fung on these airwaves, and we're going to do it because July 4th is coming up. We want your fails of July. We also call this Independence Day, something that has gone wrong in any way that caused your embarrassment or perhaps you're losing a limb, anything you want to do. Could be fireworks, could be parade, could be grilling, could be anything involving your experiences on July 4th. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Fung is winning, and winning is Fung. And it's coming up next on The Score.
Monday, July 15th, join the Score's Lawrence Holmes as he hosts Cubs special guests at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern in Wrigley for the second luncheon of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at 670thescore.com/ondeck. Presented by TimberTech and Xfinity.
Don't let this summer pass you up. Power it up. In the 5-Hour Energy, power up your summer sweepstakes. You could win one of five amazing experiences. Buy any 5-Hour Energy product, including Cherry Extra Strength. Snap a picture of your receipt and send it in. Because it's about time you had the time of your life. Power up your summer with 5-Hour Energy. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends July 15, 2019. Must be U.S. resident, age 18 years or older to enter. For official rules, visit www.5hewin.com. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Living Essentials, LLC.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto.